Ready to break free from algorithms, vanity PR, and money-sucking ads? My name's Larissa Warstick, and I've learned in 7 years of jewelry marketing that content is the crown jewel. My agency, Joy Joya, takes a holistic approach, leading with laser-focused storytelling, impactful content creation, and strategic content distribution. This method has worked for the solopreneur as well as the multi-million dollar company, and now I'm sharing the same systems and tactics with you. Here's to standing out in the sea of sparkle. Welcome to episode 281. Today, let's dive into a part two of last week's discussion on achieving e-commerce sales goals through key metrics like average order value or AOV, conversion rates, and the number of website visitors. While I outlined in that episode the importance of these metrics, I didn't really delve into the strategies for enhancing your performance in these areas. So in this episode, I'm excited to offer practical advice on elevating your AOV, boosting conversion rates, and increasing your site's traffic. Coupling the insights from episode 280 with today's tips should empower you to elevate your online jewelry sales, providing clarity on the actionable steps you can take to turn your sales aspirations into reality. This approach aims to make your goals more attainable and demystify the process of achieving online jewelry sales success. But before we get to the solid gold, I'd like to take a moment to remind you that this podcast has both audio and video, so you can either listen on your favorite podcast platform or watch on YouTube by searching Joy Joya. You can support the podcast for free by taking the time not only to subscribe, but also to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Okay, let's get into today's episode, my sparklers. Again, last week, I spoke about establishing effective revenue goals as well as knowing your metrics. And as a refresher, here's a summary. So if you want to make those effective revenue goals, I want you to first consider analyzing past performance, market conditions, and your business's growth potential so that you can set attainable yet conservative targets at first, especially if you're a new business that doesn't have extensive data. For those established businesses, then leveraging past sales data, understanding market dynamics, and evaluating your capacity for actual growth are so important when you're setting those SMART, that's specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-based goals, aiming for a realistic revenue increase that's based on your stage of growth and your position in the market. And then, as I talked about in episode 280, when it comes to knowing your numbers, metrics like average order value or AOV and your conversion rate, which you don't even need to go into Google Analytics to see. Typically, you can see these things through your e-commerce platform like Shopify. Those are so essential for planning and adjusting strategies to meet your revenue targets. Also, as I mentioned, you want to focus on metrics like customer return rate and improving other key performance indicators like website visitors. So basically, if you haven't yet listened to episode 280, please listen to that one first before proceeding, because there's a lot of important information and context that will help this episode make more sense to you. So understanding your metrics, so crucial, but then figuring out how to actually leverage this knowledge effectively, that's an entirely different challenge. So if you found, for example, that you need to boost your average order value or increase your conversion rate or bring in more website visitors, or maybe your return customer rate is lacking, then you might kind of be wondering where to start. So I'll be sharing specific strategies tailored for each area. But remember, don't overwhelm yourself trying to attempt all the things at once. Instead, I want you to choose a point of focus for enhancing your e-commerce performance, because this is a journey. It's not a like immediate sprint to the finish line. We're going to keep iterating and making adjustments. So you're going to pick the strategies that seem most achievable and fitting for your situation and start there. All right, so let's begin with the first metric that I talked about in last week's episode, and that's average order value, or AOV. And I'll just call it AOV from now to the end of the episode because it's a mouthful to say average order value. So these are some tips to increase AOV if that's what you've identified as an area that you need to focus on. So the first thing you want to consider, and this is something I don't think a lot of jewelry brands are really doing, bundle your products. So you want to create bundles that complement each other. Let's say there's like a necklace and pair of earrings that really go well together. They could work together as a set, or you think that customers would like to purchase them together. Then offer them at a slightly lower price if someone decides to buy them together as opposed to buying separately. This will encourage your customers to spend more so they can get a better deal, and that can ultimately increase your average order value. You'll also want to think about cross-selling and upselling. So either on your product pages or at checkout, if someone is looking at a product or they have something in their cart, have your e-commerce website suggest related products or even higher end alternatives. So if someone's buying a silver necklace, maybe you can do a cross sell that recommends a matching silver bracelet, or an upsell where you have a gold version that's higher quality. Maybe the customer didn't even know that was available. So presenting that option to them makes them more likely to consider that other option. If you do have a discount strategy in place, you want to think about offering discounts that incentivize larger purchases. So a tiered discount program. For example, spend $100, get 10% off. Spend $200, get 15% off. Customers who are motivated by these discount thresholds will be trying to spend more money with you. Think about your free shipping threshold. So some jewelry brands, they offer shipping at a certain minimum purchase. They offer shipping for everyone. If you're really struggling with average order value, then make that free shipping threshold kind of either higher or closer to the point that you want people to be spending at. So if your average order value right now is $400 and you're trying to get it up to $500, but you offer free shipping to everyone, maybe you want to set a free shipping threshold, like free shipping over purchases of $500. Or even something less than that, but then you're not giving free shipping to everyone, and it could potentially incentivize people to buy more. Loyalty programs. So if you have a loyalty program in place, or you want to create a loyalty program, you can then reward customers for higher spending. Maybe they earn points for each purchase that can then be redeemed for discounts on future purchases. So those are some ideas to boost your AOV. Let's move to the next metric that I talked about, which was conversion rate. So these are some ideas to boost your conversion rate. First and foremost, think about the e-commerce experience. That is the first place to start. Is your website visually appealing? Is everything easy to navigate? Is it mobile friendly? Are your product pages full of high quality images and videos? Are your product descriptions really focused on storytelling? Are there too many steps for someone to actually get to purchase? These are things you need to audit about your e-commerce website, and that's the first place to start. Also, if you don't already have it, consider offering live chat support. So implement live chat on your website. That way you can answer customer questions in real time. And even if you're not available, you could have like pre-programmed AI responses that could make the customer feel supported and help alleviate any doubts so that you can guide customers toward making a purchase. As I mentioned before, make sure your checkout process is as simple and straightforward as possible. If someone has even the smallest doubt or moment of confusion at checkout, the chance that they're going to abandon their checkout goes up exponentially. So test the checkout yourself. Have your friends test your checkout. Have a professional test your checkout. That is the hurdle between you making a sale or not making a sale. So is your checkout process as seamless as it can be? Also, make sure you're implementing those trust signals across your website. So do you have customer reviews, ratings, testimonials, any like press, industry certifications, a privacy policy, customer service terms, policies, shipping, returns, whatever guarantees that can help you build credibility? Because it's still scary for some people to shop online, especially at higher price points. They need to feel confident that they're not getting scammed. And my favorite way to boost conversion rates is to optimize your abandoned cart emails. So make sure you're sending timely, personalized emails to customers who leave items in their cart without completing their purchase. You can send that first email within an hour of abandonment that gently reminds the customer of their unfinished purchase. And then those follow-up emails can maybe have a special offer, like a discount code or free shipping, to incentivize them to complete the transaction. And make sure these emails feel personalized and actually highlight the products that the customer left in their cart. So what about website visitors? How do you increase website traffic? This is one of the most frequently asked questions that I get. I mean, you need to get people to your site in order to get them to buy, right? It's tough. It's not easy to get people to come to your website. It can take time, but there are definitely tactics that you can use. One of those is search engine optimization, or SEO. So you want to optimize your website content, including product descriptions, blog posts, and images with relevant keywords. And that can help you boost your ranking in search engine result pages. This makes it easier for your potential customers to find you when they're searching for jewelry online. So definitely think about SEO. SEO is a long game. It takes time to gain those search engine rankings. But once they're in place, as long as you are continually updating your website with relevant content, it's harder to lose those rankings, and they kind of snowball upon each other. And over time, you will find yourself with a lot of keyword rankings. So it's something worth investing in. But again, know that the payoff, this is a long investment. Content marketing. So create valuable and engaging content that's related to jewelry, like styling tips, care instructions, the stories behind your pieces. This can help attract visitors who are looking for that helpful information and inspiration, and that will drive traffic to your site. Of course, we have social media marketing. So use social media marketing to try to get people off the social platform and onto your website. So give them calls to action to shop, to check something out, to sign up for email, to DM you for more information, to visit a link in your bio, to click. Yes, you want them to be engaging on that post, but you also want that social media to help you drive traffic to your website. Also, think about influencer collaborations, partnerships with other businesses. So partner with micro influencers, brand ambassadors who align with your brand to try to reach a wider audience. That way they can introduce your brand to their followers. You can also do cross promotions with other brands that complement your jewelry, like fashion retailers or beauty brands. Again, that can help you reach new audiences. You can consider implementing a referral program to encourage your current customers to refer their friends and family to your brand. Events and pop-ups is a great way to build brand awareness and draw traffic to your website, especially if you can get those people to sign up to your email or to follow you on social media. And finally, let's discuss the metric returning customer rate. So how do you increase the rate of customers who have purchased from you to come back again and again? Make sure above all that you're providing exceptional customer service. So at every touch point, you want to be providing outstanding customer service. That means quick, helpful responses to inquiries and issues so that you're always leaving the customer with a good feeling and creating a positive shopping experience. Think about loyalty programs. I mentioned this earlier, but a loyalty program rewards customers for repeat purchases, and that's a great way to encourage people to come back. Email marketing, you know that's my favorite thing because you can keep in touch with your customers through regular engaging email communication. That way you can share new collections, exclusive offers, and valuable content related to jewelry care and styling tips, and that keeps your brand top of mind. You can also offer those returning customers early access to new collections, special editions, limited time offers, and this exclusivity can make customers feel valued and more likely to make those repeat purchases. And always surprise and delight, especially those loyal customers. Maybe you give them a small gift, a personal note, a special discount. These small gestures can really make a big impact on customer loyalty. So what do you think? Which areas of focus are important to you right now in increasing your e-commerce sales? And again, go back to 280 so that you can figure that out. And which tactics are you hoping to try? I would love to hear your thoughts about that. All right, let's get into the gold mine. This is a segment of the podcast where I get personal and share insights on entrepreneurship, mindset, success, growth, and all things business. And in this week's gold mine, I invite you to consider this. Would you purchase your jewelry product if it were being sold by another brand? So I don't mean that like you make the jewelry and then someone copies you and they have the same thing. I mean, pretend you're not even a jewelry designer and someone else is a designer and you see a product that you have made or would be making. I know it's a little bit tricky to imagine that, but I want you to really try. Like if you were just a regular customer and someone else was selling a product that you made, would you buy it? I think it's really common knowledge that many jewelry designers and business owners start their businesses because they're driven by a passion for their craft, or they have a desire to fill a gap in the market with products that resonate with them on a personal level. So naturally, one might assume that you'd be inclined to buy your own creations from someone else, but is that really the case? I urge you to really reflect deeply and honestly on this matter. So imagine for a moment you're not the creator behind your jewelry. And as you're scrolling through social media and stumble upon your creations on, say, Instagram, would you feel compelled to engage with the post or explore the website further? And would that desire to purchase come immediately? Or would you think about your decision for some time? And similarly, if you saw your jewelry at, say, a store or an event, and it was showcased among other pieces, would it catch your interest enough for you to inquire more about it? And what are your reasons either way? I think it's important to acknowledge that not every designer or maker matches their ideal customer profile. So that is definitely a reality. And you as the maker may not be your target customer. Your passion might be in crafting jewelry for a demographic that's distinctly different from you. And maybe you just happen to have a great understanding of your audience's preferences, even though you're not part of that audience yourself. I think that's less common. It's entirely plausible. But the essence of this exercise where you're asking yourself this question is to confront any reservations or hesitations that you might have about purchasing your own jewelry at retail price. So what factors would tip the scales toward making a purchase? And what barriers might make you put your wallet away for another time? I think reflecting on this question too can offer a clearer perspective on how others view your jewelry. Even more so if they are not in the jewelry industry and they don't know anything about buying jewelry. It can really shed light on what might make someone hesitant or eager to buy. Also, I think understanding this can alleviate your frustration during slower periods in your business or when marketing efforts seem to miss the mark. I hope that thinking about this encourages you to open your mind to innovate and explore new strategies. So, what do you think about this? Maybe it's an odd question. I don't know. I want to hear from you. Would you buy your own jewelry right away if another person was making or designing it? I want you to use your imagination and try. So drop me a message via Instagram DM, leave a review on the podcast, or comment on YouTube. Did you have any questions about today's episode? You can always email me Larissa, that's LARYSSA at joyjoya.com. If you love this podcast, please share it with a friend who'd appreciate it. And don't forget to subscribe as well as leave a review on Apple Podcasts. If you're completely new to digital marketing, then you'll want to purchase and read a copy of my book, Jewelry Marketing Joy. Visit joyjoya.com/book for more information.